1 o'clock hour. Where did that come from? That's a it's a left different, hook. Different vibe from Drew. I wasn't expecting it.
It was
it's all good. I don't mind it. But.
Somebody posted that about SEC football.
Oh,
Delta Dawn, baby. That's the anthem right. for this
there
year.
There you go. There you go. No, it's good. I was also just waiting. I was waiting.
Yeah, that's one takes a little bit to.
I was waiting to be able to get back, you know, back here. 1 o'clock hour. Cody Ingold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley in for Cody today and tomorrow. Coming up in about a half hour, we'll get another open leaderboard update from our man Drew, who's Sir been doing Drew. A great job.
Sir Drew of Camelot.
That's right. He's been doing an unbelievable job with the open leaderboard updates.
Thank you.
And we'll also Tubes. Get into what one NFL executive said about Patrick Mahomes. But it is 2024, and before we know it, it'll be 2025, and we'll be 25 years into this century, right? And so ESPN today came out with their top 100 professional athletes since 2000. Now, these are worldwide, this is worldwide athletes. And I'll tell you the top 10 again and where Mahomes comes into play. And then ultimately, where can he end up if we fast forward and do this in 30 years or in 40 years or 40 years in the century, not 40 years from now. So number one on the list, I'll work. You want me to work back or you want me to go there? I'll work back. Let's go from 10.
Yeah, it kind of sucks when I can see the end of this century.
Okay, Bink. That's a whole other. Let's have that discussion.
I'm just saying that kind of sucks. I mean, it has been 25 years if you count 2000,
but you're right.
We're not going to see it.
That is correct.
If I last to 105,
you're right.
I made it.
You're right. That is factually accurate, I would say, for those of us on this show. All right, number 10, Kobe Bryant. Who will be. Who will be listed in the 22nd century? Is that what you're going for? All right. Kobe Bryant was 10. Usain Bolt was 9. Tiger was 8. And that's the one I'm surprised that he's not higher. But then it's also like, okay, well, who is he overtaking? So 7 was Simone Biles. 6 was Federer. Tom Brady was 5. 4 was LeBron. 3 was Messi. 2 was Serena Williams. And number 1, Michael Phelps. Most accomplished Olympian ever, 28-time Olympic medalist, 23 gold medals, most gold medals at a single Olympics. They based this off of accomplished, not most athletically gifted athlete ever, most, which Michael Phelps might be the answer to that as well, but most accomplished athlete is how they determine that. Are you good with the top 10? Mahomes is at 18, which when you consider all these other names, for him to have only been playing in the NFL for what, 7-8 years now? To already be number 18 of most accomplished athletes of the century, soon to be 25 years into this thing, is actually really impressive. Normally, any list that Mahomes is 18, we're like, what the hell? How is he only 18th? This is the one exception. The one list where Mahomes being 18 is not crazy.
I actually, the Tiger Woods thing, he deserves to be way higher. The 13 majors he had won after 2000. Come on, man. I mean, you're playing against the best in the world. He won 9 of these as the number one golfer. Or 11 major wins as the world's number one golfer, which is 9 more than any other player at that time of all time. He transcended the whole sport, though. I'm looking at these guys. I mean, they're great. Phelps deserves to be one. I give him that. But Tiger Woods just transcended the sport of golf, and the money got to a certain point. The purses got a lot higher because of him.
Sure.
But he would definitely, because I look at these other people, but he really like transcended what his sport was.
But it's not saying who is the most influential athlete or, you know what I mean? That's the top 100 isn't saying who changed their sport the most or who was most influential. I think Tiger should be higher than 8, but who? Okay, so then
he's got more than that, but clearly after 2013.
Correct. Who are you moving though? If you're moving Tiger up from 8, who are you having him jump? You would probably say Brady should be higher than 5.
Brady, yeah, Brady should be. I'd have him ahead of LeBron. I would have Tiger ahead of Simone Biles. For sure.
Seven-time Olympic medalist,
no,
4 golds.
Very accomplished, but we were talking about Tiger Woods. 13 majors, man, after 2000.
Some of this, and I hear you, some of this is just like, what do people value or what are they a fan of? Like, you know, Olympics versus professional golf, right? I mean, they're way different. And so how do you balance that? You know, this is also worldwide. Like here in the United States, we're going to value an NFL player probably more than the cricket player that's on this top 100 list. That's just from where we're at. Because there are cricket players on this top 100
text
list.
Text line is making a point for Joey Chestnut.
Yeah, I figured you're
16 mustard belts. 16 of them. Could anybody in this top 10 do that? What he's done? Nobody could.
So here was who was around Mahomes on this list. So number 20 was Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald, generation, maybe the best defensive lineman. Certainly the best defensive lineman of the last 25 sure. years, right? You would agree. So he was 20. 19 was Lewis Hamilton or F1. Where some people would be like, oh, there's no way that guy should be 19th, right? But if you're a fan of F1, you probably totally understand.
You're talking about accomplishments.
He was dominant.
And it's accomplishments. 18 is Mahomes. Right ahead of Mahomes, Shaq. 16 was Duncan. 15, Katie Ledecky. She has a chance to add to that still. That's the thing. Some of these athletes are retired, and some have a chance to continue to add to their legacy and accomplishment. Steph Curry is 14. Cristiano Ronaldo is 13. Rafael Nadal, 12. Novak Djokovic is 11. And then I said Kobe is 10. Fast forward 5 years from now, if we were to just like 30 years into the century, how high is Mahomes? How much higher can he get from 18? Can he get to 10? Can he leapfrog enough?
If accomplishments, how many more years? You say 10 years?
Fast forward 10 years from now.
All right, he's got three more MVPs. Let's say three more MVPs.
Two more Super Bowls, maybe?
Two to three more Super Bowls.
And he's the first ever to three-peat.
I think he hovers around the 10.
Yeah, I don't know if he can get any higher than that if we're including the 30 years prior. Because Tom Brady and LeBron and Tiger and Michael Phelps, nothing is changing with their accomplishments. They're, you know what I mean? Like, they're set. Tiger could only improve it, right? But still, somehow, if he shocked everybody and found a way to win another major, which doesn't seem like that's happening at the Open this weekend. So says Ric Flair.
Oh,
17 world championships.
Huh? Yeah, but we're talking after 2000, though.
We're also...
Someone said, where is Michael Jordan? This is this century.
Yeah,
so,
2000s and yeah. His time with the Wizards didn't get him in there.
Ric Flair's definitely deserving whatever, though.
What's that?
Rick's definitely deserving, whatever he is.
Yeah, this is, let me be clear, top 100 athletes, ESPN, since 2000. For the 21st century, and they did this off of most accomplished athletes.
I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made. You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kids stealing, woo, wheeling, dealing, limousine.
Why is it so quiet?
Flying, son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
Hard to deny that.
Yeah, I'm just not a wrestling guy, so just I totally respect it for those. I just never been a wrestling guy, but the other names that are interesting. People are wondering.
Pujols is 24.
Where was Pujols? Yeah, Texas was wondering about Albert Pujols. He's 24th on this thing.
I wonder if
he's very accomplished though.
If you did all time athletes. From any, like, you take away the this century thing, is Tom Brady top 10? Is he even in, or is there a football
you're saying
player
of all time?
Is like, there a football player in the top 10? I don't know if there is.
So you're saying worldwide in sports history since the beginning of time, who is the top 10? Brady still has to be. Right now, he is the best quarterback to ever play what has turned out to be the most popular, one of the most popular sports in the world. So, yeah, Tom Brady would be in the all-time list, yeah.
He would be top 10?
Yes.
Yeah, more rings than anybody else, or as a quarterback.
He wouldn't be five, that, probably, on that. But if we were to expand the last
Bo
50...
Bo Jackson, Muhammad Ali...
The last 50 years, Brady would still be in
MJ,
the top 10. Yeah, I mean...
Tyson, I mean, MJ is a better athlete than Tom Brady.
Sure,
was.
But top 10 of the last 50 years? Yeah.
Accomplishment-wise.
The most important position in sports, he's the most accomplished of one of the most popular sports in the world.
Well, then Tom Brady should be higher than five, then.
I agree.
If we're talking about athletes, again, that's where the conversation is
interesting. Charles would agree.
I don't think that...
The list is... Yeah, if we want to change the list, based on this list...
If it's accomplishment-based...
That's what the list is.
Then I think MJ is better than Brady. MJ's higher than Brady. Muhammad Ali, I don't know Muhammad Ali's numbers like that, but I think people would put him there.
Yeah, Texans and Brady winningest would be in the top 100 best. Yeah, again, this list is accomplishments, not who's the most ridiculous athlete we've ever seen.
Right. Trout would be in the list, somebody mentions, for sure.
Yeah.
I just don't know if you can say ranking the top 100 professional athletes since 2000, because you're not ranking the top professional athletes then. It's accomplishment. You have to.
Well,
I don't know if that's a little bit clickbaity. The article,
because the measurable. I mean, I actually don't think I don't think the rankings are that far off.
I don't think they are either. But if you're talking, if accomplishments are part But if accomplishments are part of the deal, but you're talking about pure athletes, then Tom Brady's not top 10. I don't know if Tom Brady's top 10 all time. He's not a top 10 athlete. Athlete Bink, Patrick Mahomes is a better overall athlete.
Right, period, but then there's the balance, though, right? Because we're just going off of pure athlete. Then RG3 should be on the list in the top 15.
No, because we're not going off pure athlete. Because he's a great athlete.
Well, no, but you... I agree. That's not what we're doing, but that's what you just said. You want to go that direction.
If you take away the accomplishment-only aspect of this and you do everything from top to bottom in their career, Tom Brady's not top 10.
The accomplishments of winning 7 rings weighs very heavily in either, and no matter how
I know, but I think MJ would be higher on the list. I think Muhammad Ali would be higher on people's list. I think Bo Jackson would be higher. That puts him down to 8.
Dion played multiple sports.
I don't know if Wayne Gretzky, somebody mentions. I don't know if Tom Brady's in that top 10.
I just feel like you have to have one NFL player that's in the top 10 and the most accomplished.
That would be Bo. In terms of athleticism.
Yeah, but that's weighing the athleticism part way too much, though, in my opinion.
So Bo wouldn't be top 10, in your opinion?
No. Not if we're saying we're doing accomplishments plus athleticism, no. If we're just doing freak athletes, again, that's a completely different list.
Yeah.
Freak athlete list, yeah.
If you're balancing
Bo's at the top,
then Bo's not there.
I mean... And in Olympics is tough. Like, freak athlete. Michael Phelps, you could argue, is as freaky of an athlete as it comes. I mean, the dude was ridiculous in the pool.
When you look at, like, I think that's where the Olympic thing comes into play. Like, Usain Bolt deserves to be in the list. Simone Biles is top 10. You know, Phelps is top. Like, you have 3 Olympic athletes in the top 10.
Yeah. Carl Lewis.
You have 2 tennis players in the top 10.
Yeah, Carl Lewis for singing the anthem. Yeah.
But. On the track.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man.
Someone said, why is... I'm surprised Drew isn't trying to make a case for Burrow, to be honest.
He made his case.
If we're talking about...
He tried earlier, guys.
If we are talking about pure athletes, Joe Burrow is not on the list. If we're talking about...
He had a lot of rushing yards at LSU. People don't believe that.
He's a really good athlete, but he's not top 100.
We know. We know.
If we're talking accomplishments, he's not. I'm just trying to make it... Look...
Josh Allen might be.
You might say that I am a homer.
I put Jake Browning on that list. I put Jake Browning on that list, man. That guy can play.
Oh, he made that much of an impression?
That guy can play, you know? Yes, text line, neither Bo or Wayne played in the 21st century. We're not. We've expanded the conversation to talking about all time.
And I just went Kansas City only. It was a lot easier.
Someone said Robert
Ory. Kansas City only. Played in Kansas City.
Played in Kansas City.
Top three ever? Yeah. Tom Watson, Mahomes, and then most likely Brett is the answer. Salvi at some point in
certain. It's not a Mount Rushmore. Just
yeah.
But top athlete ever born here, most accomplished ever.
I mean, Maurice Green gets in that conversation. Then, if we're talking about that,
Tom Watson for most accomplished that's from here.
Not even close.
Yeah,
it's not even close.
I think the best football player from the state of Kansas, obviously, Barry Sanders.
Sure, Wichita.
The best high school player I've ever seen come out of the city.
Darren Sproles. Yeah, like Darren Sproles, Lathan North.
He's like 6 all-time, like an all-purpose yardage.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best high school player to ever come out of here.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that Djokovic is 11.
Where should he be?
I don't know if he's necessarily higher than Federer, but I think he's in the conversation to be... higher than Federer. I mean, he already is the all-time men's leader in slams. He's had the most weeks at number one. He's third in men's singles titles and wins in the Open era.
I think Federer's probably higher on this list. They're weighing the fact that he has, 8 Wimbledon or
Wimbledon
titles ever for a male.
Djokovic almost has 5 more majors overall, though.
Yeah, that's crazy. Anyway, these are always fun lists. ESPN, if you want to look at it, check it out. You can find it. ESPN put out top 100 athletes based on accomplishments of the 21st century.
And I'll throw in Joey in a 16 muster.
Yeah.
Jeez.
What's more popular, that or pro tennis?
Pro tennis
is not even close.
Oh, come on. Then when Joey was in the hot dog eating contest, everybody in this country watched it in 4th of July.
Gosh. Are you kidding me?
No, people got to get there on their TVs on the 4th of July to watch the hot dog eating contest.
I wish you would have asked Nate Taylor that question.
I guarantee you more people would watch Joey than sit there and watch a Wimbledon final.
No, for this country.
There's no way.
It's not even close, Bink. It's just not even close.
Which one are you watching? honestly, would you watch Joey in a hot dog contest or would you watch a Wimbledon final?
I would choose Wimbledon. I didn't watch this year. But yeah, and I didn't watch the Nathan's hot dog eating contest this year either.
But because he wasn't in it.
Correct.
Point taken.
And we're talking about tennis now when there's no American
Sampras and Agassi.
Who's in the Wimbledon final? You remember?
Carlos Alcaraz.
Okay,
yeah. And Novak Djokovic.
Okay. 160 miles an hour.
How many people in this country know Alcaraz or Joey Chestnut?
I think more people would know Alcaraz.
No. Joey. More people know who Joey is than
Alcaraz. Maybe it's because he's a celebrity and not an athlete.
Well, we're talking about accomplishments here. We're not talking about total
athletes. No, but accomplishments, it's not even a question.
It's Joey. No. Yeah, you're right.
No, not at all.
100%, you're right.
Oh, my gosh.
Not at all, Bink. Not at all.
Krejčíková won from the Czech Republic, the women's side.
Who's the number one bowler right now?
I couldn't tell you.
That is who's a sport, the number one eater, right, Bink?
Exactly.
Bink, it is
you're making
a sport.
My point.
No, you're saying just popularity means that it's more
of a
sport.
That's why ESPN signed a new contract with it, because they thought he was going to be in it. Because
they also had the spelling
bee
on ESPN.
76 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Not only that, when he did his thing on YouTube on the 4th of July, he had 57 in 5 minutes. 58.
So when you down this
Nathan's contest, which is a watered down joke at this point.
One question. When you down this $25, whatever you want to call it, at the
K, taco,
are you participating in a sport?
If it's timed. If it's not timed, it's not a sport. But if it's timed,
so when Gold does
competing.
So when Gold does like the Blazing Challenge,
yeah,
is it a sport?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
And when we play the EA college football tournament next week at Hy-Vee Arena,
that
sport. Is esports.
No. Esports. It's an esport.
Esports. Drew. It's
Drew.
Esports.
People are getting scholarships to college for esports now.
Millions of dollars in sponsorships.
People are also getting full ride scholarships to go to medical school. That's not a sport. That's the category. No,
it's literally called esports, though.
It's called esports.
We need to take it off the athletics page. We have to take it off of all of that because it is not a sport.
913. My girlfriend.
The gatekeeping is so strong over there.
Me
right
sat on a couch playing a video game does not make. I'm not playing a sport when I sat on my couch last night.
You're getting a scholarship in college for sports. 785. Agree with me. 913. My girlfriend, who knows nothing about sports, know who Chestnut is. 754. You eat 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Tell me athleticism doesn't play a factor. 816. Joey Chestnut for sure. I'm telling you, the top six techs.
Yeah, Drew doesn't want to talk about video games. He, him and I played NCAA football last night.
I did lose. I did play as Memphis.
Many people watched the hot dog contest compared to the men's Wimbledon final? I'm curious.
Way more.
I would bet
Wimbledon.
Hot dogs. From our text line, I bet more people watched the hot dog eating contest than the Wimbledon final.
No, I don't think that's true.
More people know who Chestnut is than Alcaraz.
Yeah, more people know who Taylor Swift is than pick whoever's the top Olympian this year. Doesn't mean it's, you know what I mean? Doesn't mean anything.
The hot dog contest drew 831,000 viewers. Wimbledon had 2.2 million.
You didn't have Joey Chestnut!
Which was down 31%.
You didn't have Joey Chestnut!
Go pick up last year's ratings to help out Bink.
Yeah.
Someone says driving and avoiding the 9-year-olds on their phones in Johnson County is more of a sport than tennis. How do we get to the point where now you're trying to claim tennis isn't even a sport? It's one thing for Bink to say which one is more popular, which is also wrong.
Pro tennis has gone way downhill.
Yeah, I'm not a big tennis fan, but it's still a sport.
Major League Eating's on
here. We go. In 2014, that was the most watched hot dog eating contest of all time. Yeah. 2.8 million people.
That's a lot.
That same year in Wimbledon, 10 million people watched the Wimbledon final.
And that was on at what, 6 a.m.?
But
yes.
What about just American ratings? You're going worldwide here. You're probably, in Europe they're watching Wimbledon. I'm talking United States of America.
I think the ratings he cited are U.S. television ratings.
Not buying it. Wimbledon as a whole or just the finals?
The final.
It's worldwide.
Someone says
Drew.
If Joey is a half. So if Chestnut is an athlete, they said so is the hawk to a girl.
Joey's far more accomplished than that.
Some would argue not.
Damn it, Drew. I was going to get along with you today. That was my goal.
I'm getting along with you right now, Bink.
Oh, you got to give him that hawk. And spit on that thing.
Come on, man. 2.1 million people is pretty damn impressive for Joey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. But when you find out that it's five times less than what the Wimbledon final was, you're like, oh, yeah.
Did you say 2014?
Yes.
I just happened to have his intro.
but you are not mine own. Fate is your father, and you belong to the people.
You belong to the people.
You shall lead the army of the free. And she held him high, and the finger of power that destroys the unworthy descended. And it touched him on the forehead, and it anointed him the champion of the world, of now and of always, of the 4th of July, of the nation.
God, the Obi still yells.
The 7-time Nathan famous champion of the world. Ladies and
let's
gentlemen.
Let's still chant.
The man.
Doing this for Wimbledon?
The man crush you have on Joey Chestnut.
Doing this for Wimbledon?
Nah, man. Joey Chestnut's America. Not the Wimbledon
Someone
finals.
Said they think you like pro eating more than football.
No. Nope.
I don't think you back any athlete.
This is when we had 7 championships.
That's he was a big 16. Fan of Deshaun Watson coming out of college. He wanted the Chiefs to draft him.
Oh, it's not true. I wanted Mahomes.
You don't back any person in this on this planet more than you back Joey Chestnut.
And you don't back anybody more than Joe Burrow.
That's accurate. That's fair. That's a fair point.
I'm just saying.
That's fair.
Who's got more accomplishments? Joe Burrow or Joey Chestnut?
I'm with you now, babe. I'm with you now.
Point taken.
I'm with you now.
He competes every time, right? I mean, he doesn't sit out. And, you know, he's not hurt.
Chestnut's wrist works.
Chestnut's wrist. But, yeah, obviously. did you see him that one time that protester ran up there and he, like, pushed him down and continued eating?
Yeah, he choked him out.
Yeah, and continued eating. Tell me that's not athleticism.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. All right. Up next. We'll get to what's trending, an open leaderboard update, and we didn't get to it there because we got very much sidetracked, but let's talk more about the innings concerns and what could happen for the Big 12 with the good news out of SEC Media Days.
You're listening to Cody and Gold. Subscribe and download the 249 Miles of Football podcast hosted by Drew Nixon on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts with new episodes released every Wednesday. Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com. 610 Sports Radio. What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, the WNBA has secured new media rights, and it'll get over $200 million a year. If you look at their current deal, valued at about $60 million per year, it's set to expire after the 2025 season. The NBA helped them negotiate that deal. They own about 60% of the WNBA does the NBA. And so big-time money coming to the league, although Caitlin Clark, the impact has been on attendance and everything. The media rights deal hasn't really altered yet because of her, but the attendance has.
Yeah, they will, and I think the media rights will, too, when people see the ratings of some of the games. I'm sure that was part of the plug for their contract. Ended up being like $2.2 billion.
Yeah.
Dollars. What else is trending is Nelly has been announced as the headliner for the 40th annual late night. They got 40 of them now in the late night in the fog on October 18th at Allen Fieldhouse.
Nelly, all right.
That's a lot. How many of those have you been to?
I'm not a big late night guy. Okay. I've gone to late night in the fog probably 4 or 5 times.
Who is the best performer?
Well, at one point in time, they were not doing this performer things in the last like 8 to 10 years. It's like,
sure, like the concert element.
Yeah,
too.
Remember way back when Late Night in the Fog actually was at midnight. It was Midnight in the Fog or whatever.
Yeah,
Late Night
in the Fog. Madness or
midnight,
whatever.
You know, every school does it differently. It's blown up more. KU was one of the first to have it as big as it was. And then,
yeah, Bill Self
then Calipari started having Drake perform, and now everybody's, you know, tries to get different. Shaq was, I think, DJing it last year or something. Diesel. Nice. But no, Nelly, why not? Why not? You know?
You know what else is trending?
The Open.
Well, the Open is.
The Open Championship.
There's a couple more things trending.
Like?
Well, I was going to say the Royals schedule was announced for 2025. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's huge.
Bink is excited about the 2025 schedule. The Royals do have opening day at home next year to open up.
It's Cleveland. We have to wait for the series. It's right there, boom.
Opening day is like truly opening day, which is always fun. Like,
it's against Cleveland, which is great.
Everybody gets opening day, but you know what I'm saying. Like, true opening day is the first game of the season.
It's actually an important game to play Cleveland right off the bat like that.
Yeah, Bink will be breaking down the schedule for 2025 later on today. Drew will actually have that on his night show tonight. Full 2025 schedule breakdown.
All 3 hours on After Hours. We're breaking down every single series.
All 3 hours tonight, you'll be talking just like this for your open leaderboard update.
Sir Drew.
Good afternoon from Troon, Scotland. The Royal Troon Golf Course hosting the Open Championship this year. Shane Lowry now tied for first. Daniel Brown just birdied a hole there at 4 under par. Solo third is Justin Thomas. If you want to go to Scandinavia, you got 2 Scandinavian representatives in the top 4. Alex Noren from Sweden and Nikolai Højgaard from Denmark. Also tied with fellow Englishmen, or Justin Rose. And then Americans, Russell Henley and Xander Schauffele. Tiger Woods, unfortunately, is all the way down at 6 over par, currently tied for 122nd. John Daly, well, he stinks. He's at 11 over par for today. Also, some other big names struggling today out on the links. Zach Johnson, +5. Tommy Fleetwood at 5 over par. Bryson DeChambeau and Max Homa and also Will Zalatoris, the Americans, struggling on the links of Troon, Scotland's Royal Troon.
He just likes to say Royal Troon. He likes to say Royal Troon.
I need to go catch me up on a pint and also get lubed up for tomorrow's action.
Oh.
Tubes.
Shout out to Luis Rees-Zammit.
That's right.
And David Tubes. Tubes.
Zammit's going to be fun audio, man. You may just have to play that every time he talks.
I said, whenever LRZ speaks, I want to play it because the audio is, it's way more entertaining hearing him say the same cliche stuff than it is random American football players.
And he's the most polite person we've ever
Very intelligent
heard.
Individual. If
he's just so polite and friendly. You can say anything mean to him. He's going to be very polite back.
I didn't even mention the Scott Robert McIntyre. One over par.
I will say the text line thinks your leaderboard updates earlier were better than that one.
The performance
was slipping.
Well, yeah, I was
tomorrow you're back with 3 more.
I was stumbling a little bit because as I was reading it, the leaderboard was updating. So I'm preparing to say something, and then all of a sudden something changes, and I stumble over that.
The noon update was stronger.
The noon update was the best one.
Because you were talking about the countries that they play from and where they're representing.
He just wants to say Royal Troon,
Scotland.
Who coaches Kansas City Chiefs special teams?
Dave Tubes.
Tubes, dude.
Oh, goodness.
Tubes.
Sir Drew.
Yep. That's true.
I was tired of you criticizing my Scottish accent earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to up my game.
You kind of sound like a pirate.
There's a mix of pirate, Australian accent, Scottish accent, all blended into one.
Give me a Foster's, you mighty.
There's a blend.
Walk the plank.
Crikey.
I'd like to start a petition for Drew to always speak with an accent. I would bare minimum hear a fantastic.
I don't know about that, love.
Love? Someone says you kind of turn into an Irish Scot for this one. And then it sounded like Lucky Charms.
Yeah, what's your favorite cereal?
Close to the bagpipes messed him up.
Aye.
What's your favorite cereal, Sir Drew? Lucky Charms.
A Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I think that's the way to go.
Oh, boy.
What do you drink?
Now he's a drunk Irishman.
Some Guinness. Cider. Coors Light. Nasty.
I'd be Guinness.
Oh. It's a popular UK dark liqueur.
Mm-hmm. Sir Drew.
All right, let's transition from that, if we possibly can.
We can't.
We
can't, actually.
No. Well,
someone said it was god-awful. Hang on a second.
He was great.
Someone says, next garage sale, one-day accent for Drew. You buy it, and Drew agrees to talk in the next one.
But I would slip up, though. I promise.
You guys can debate Joey Chestnut in your accent.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a sport, mate. It's not a sport.
Oh, weenies.
Settle down.
Jeez. All right. SEC Media Days.
Go ahead and transition that one.
Been going on. And I think really good news for the future of the Big 12 occurred, and it has to do with Florida State. So Matt Hayes, who covers college football, was quoting an interview that the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, gave on a station down there. He said, Georgia was one of the best four teams in the nation and didn't get in the playoff, but you know, they didn't jump up and down and complain and hang national championship banners, which was a shot towards Florida State. Now, remember, it was UCF that actually hung the banners and all that, but Florida State was complaining. Now, look, they were undefeated. It's a little bit different. But also, it comes on the heels of Brett McMurphy's reporting from the Action Network that the Big Ten and the SEC are unlikely to add Florida State. If it leaves the ACC and the ACC were to survive, the Big Ten and SEC do not want Florida State because, in their mind, it doesn't make financial sense, and there's no desire to expand. Plus, they've, quote, been a disruptive partner, which is hilarious. Things can change. You never say 100% the door is closed on Florida State to the SEC or Big Ten, but this is a great update for the Big 12 and its future. If Florida State truly wants out of the ACC, there is only one spot potentially for them, and that'd be the Big 12, and they would instantly bring a national brand to the Big 12.
I just think it's funny when Sankey talks about expansion is not a thing right now. Expansion is always on the table for these conferences. They can't stop expanding. Like, they can wake up in the morning and want to expand. What's he talking about? Oh, we're not going to. How many times have we heard we're not going to expand, then expand? Like, we hear this stuff all the time from them. But Florida State, you know, they're going to be pissed. But yeah, they're suing the ACC. And sometimes when you're sitting there and you're like, do we really want this kind of problem? Do we really want to be challenged on everything we do? And because if we don't give them the same media rights, they have to earn it like other teams. They're going to prove they've earned it and they need it. So, yeah, but the Big 12 becomes a lot more open now, more open opportunity I've ever seen it with Florida State and Clemson.
Yeah, it's realer than it has. I still don't, you know, try not to get my hopes up a little bit as someone that obviously my alma mater is in the Big 12. And if you're a K-State fan as well, you hear this news and I think you get a little excited, right? Because you know the future of the Big 12 is brighter if Florida State is in it. And it would lead to more money for media rights. And it would lead to more stability for your conference. And it would potentially be a knockout blow.
Yeah, I don't see how it wouldn't help that.
Yeah.
I don't see how it wouldn't help media rights. Like, you're talking Clemson, Florida State, man. Come on. Let's be honest. People, it's a national name. They've won national titles. I mean, yeah, it's a big name. I mean, it's a bigger name than UCF playing or Houston or BYU.
Because if Florida State's out the door, and you think that some of the better academic schools from the ACC were to leave, the North Carolinas and the Virginias of the world, they're Big Ten, they're not SEC, but they're Big Ten, they fit that profile. What would be interesting, the trickle-down effect. So, okay, ACC, let's say, disbands, essentially. Couple go to the SEC, couple go to the Big Ten, Florida State to the Big 12. Does the Big Ten at that point say, well, we're adding North Carolina and Virginia, do we try to poach one or two from the Big 12? Because they start to get nervous, and that's where you get into which academic universities fit in the Big 12 for the Big Ten, and that's where you get back to the Kansas argument. But
And they've elevated their football program, which helps them.
And their basketball's already good enough.
That's where that's where it would be interesting.
K-State would be in more trouble, I think. If Big 12 schools were to start getting poached, K-State would be in more trouble than KU.
I think so. That annoys people. I know K-State fans get upset when we have that conversation, but I think that's just reality with it. Ultimately, though, Florida State to the Big 12 is great news for both KU and K-State if that actually happens. It helps them be in a stable conference to still be at that top tier of college football. I know tomorrow we'll talk more about what could also happen besides realignment, which is a split of Division I football. Which is already happening to a certain extent, but could it become an official split where
your own commissioner?
You could still have group of fives playing SEC schools, which doesn't happen very much anyway, but you could still have that, but not in terms of competing for championships, not in terms of the playoff or anything like that.
If you're the ACC, that might be what you want, actually, to just stay as a conference. Because that's the interesting thing, is that if I think they would still form if the ACC became like the Pac-12, but why would they expand with three when you can expand with four? And I know that it's something as simple as it's even numbers, and you could have, you know, two different divisions within the league. You know, you could format it a little bit better than having just three leagues be at the top of that. I do wonder, there's part of me that I don't know if the Big 12 would do this, but would getting you're not going to kick anybody out who recently was added. Or just kick somebody out in general. But would they be interested in, because right now there are 16 teams in the Big 12, correct?
Yes.
Say you get Florida State and Clemson. Do you say, you know what, we're just going to
get to 20, 22 or whatever.
We're going to get to 20 and see if NC State is interested. We're going to check to see if
Pittsburgh
Louisville.
Yeah. It's a really good example. Maybe you add four, or maybe you look out west and say, you know, Washington State, Oregon State. You guys want to funnel on over? Like, if they want to be added late, I don't think they would do that because they would have added them in the first place. But yeah, I think the ACC, it might not just be Florida State and Clemson that would come to the Big 12. I think there would be, for them to get to an even 20 more than just 18, let's see if we can get Louisville in there, which is a really good brand as well for, it's not as big as Florida State, but it'd be a good brand to add.
We definitely have learned that realignment never stops. So just
take advantage of what you can while you can do it.
It never stops. I mean, this time next year would not surprise me if we have one or two schools bounce to a different conference again. And whether it's Florida State or somebody else, but Florida State's the biggest realistic, I guess Clemson too, but the realistic domino that could fall now that Oklahoma and Texas are already in the SEC. I mean, Florida State, in terms of big brands that are vulnerable to be poached, if you're the ACC, it's your Clemson,
We're already having some minor changes, State. But not like the big ones. Like, if you look at the group of five, there's some schools being added and shuffled around.
I hate it, man. I love the Pac-12, how it was, the ACC. I just love the different conferences. When you're regionally taking teams, you know, like UCLA and USC and putting them in the Big Ten, I mean, this doesn't make – I understand it brings the brand up, but – you lose that regional thing about it. I miss the different conferences. I always thought that was fun, like conference pride.
It's reality.
I hate it. I hate it.
The only conferences that are really regional are like the Sun Belt,
Mountain West.
The American Athletic is a little bit more regional than some of the other conferences. Yeah, the Mountain West. I mean, it's the smaller conferences that tend to be the best regional. Or the most regional.
I guess the MAC, Binks MAC conference.
The MAC's another. That's a good one.
Well, the SEC is a lot of the Southern
states. The MAC's been the same for decades?
Yep.
I don't know if I'd say decade. I don't know if it's been that long, but it's been about two decades where there's been literally no changes.
The Big Ten's the one that's all over the place.
A lot more than anybody else. You got USC in the Big Ten.
Oregon, Washington.
Yeah. The ACC adding Cal and Stanford is weird.
USC from Southern Cal's going to New Jersey to play Rutgers. I mean, what?
Yeah.
What?
And I'm curious how they're going to do the other sports,
November,
too.
Like rowing and stuff. New Jersey.
Yeah.
I'm curious how they're going to do it. The football's going to be no big deal, but I mean, basketball, I'm curious how, like, the rowing and volleyball and all that.
The Olympic sports travel.
Just the expense that they added.
They're going to have a hub in, like, Dallas or something.
Athletes
have already talked about them. Like, Cameron Brink, I think, she went to the WNBA. She said that if Stanford was staying in the Pac-12, she would have came back again for another season.
Hmm. Yeah, it's just...
But it was too much.
I hate
much.
It, man. I mean, the bowls... 1980, you had 8 bowl games. It used to mean something to get into a bowl, and now it doesn't mean anything at all.
Money has taken over like it does a lot. Like it has
just
a
like
lot
I told
of
Grant last night, who was producing, I say, you know, how much pride do you take as a K-State fan? He's a season ticket holder now for 3 years at Kansas State. Do you brag about the Pop-Tart Bowl? Do you go around and say, hey, we're Pop-Tart Bowl champions? Like, do you stick your chest out on that? I mean, no. It doesn't matter. You're Pop-Tart Bowl champions. Hey, great season they had last year, but that's the reality of it.
Yeah. Someone says Big 12 is not better. UCF's going to have to go play at Utah. That's fair. It's not as far as USC going to New Jersey, but I hear you.
Well, Big 12's got all the time zones taken care of at this point, too. I mean, they're literally expanding the country, especially when you're at Arizona and Arizona State, and you got all the way to UCF and up to West Virginia. And it's made it harder for fans to this weekend travel to the different conference games.
Yeah, I did see a couple of the airlines did add extra flights, though, for the rivalry. Missouri, I think there's some flights out of KCI for that Missouri-Alabama game. There's some flights down to Tuscaloosa, or I don't know if it's Tuscaloosa, but Birmingham or whatever.
The Big 12 used to be able to literally drive everywhere, except West Virginia is like to be close to watch your teams play. And
I am glad Colorado's back in the Big 12.
That's kind of cool.
I mean, not just because of the Deion stuff. I just mean in general, Colorado. Like Boulder,
they belong here.
There's certain schools. I feel like the Big 12 just fits the area. What West Virginia just fits the Big 12 for like now. Like I think we've got
really. See, I think West Virginia still would be one. If you were to kick out anybody, ACC, I would kick them the ACC, and I'd take one or two different schools.
I think UCF you would kick out.
See, I would let West Virginia bounce, and I'd go at Louisville. If you could.
Louisville would be a school. I mean, you might even. I would add Louisville.
I miss A&M and Nebraska and all that. I mean.
Yeah, sure. Conference realignment. Not ending anytime soon. All right, I want to talk a little Royals baseball before we get out of here today, though. We know the second half starts tomorrow. We'll have Jake Eisenberg in studio. And we've all brought up the concern about innings. It's my biggest concern for the second half. We asked Vern about it yesterday. Asked J.J. Piccolo, the Royals GM, earlier in the week. It's not just Seth Lugo, though. There are multiple pitchers on this staff that are going to have a career high in innings. And there's three players right now on pace to pitch 200 innings in all of baseball. And Lugo is one of them. Last year, five players all of baseball.
That's insane.
In 2022, eight. And then there was a time prior to this era, if you will, 2017, 2018, where you were having 15 pitchers do that. The game has changed. Seth Lugo is at 127 innings already. He's like 20 innings away from matching his career high last year. You know, you take a look at Brady Singer. Last year, he had a career high 159 and two-thirds inning. He's at 104 now. Cole Reagans is already past his career high in innings by 30 innings. I mean, in fairness, it was only 70 prior to that. So you have multiple pitchers other than Michael Wacha that are going to have career high in innings. And that's a concern, I think, for the second half. It doesn't mean they're all going to fall apart, and it doesn't mean they're all going to get hurt or anything like that, but it's something you're going to have to watch. If this team were to suffer in the back half of the season, that to me would be the number one area I would probably expect it to come from, unfortunately. And it's just whether it's an injury concern, whether it's they're just not as effective, puts more pressure on the bullpen. Especially because if Seth Lugo suddenly in the past, you know, if you in the first half were able to push him to a seventh inning, maybe now you feel like we gotta pull him in the sixth. So you're asking your bullpen to fill out more innings for you.
I think all these off days that the Royals have had recently definitely helps that situation. But I could see load management coming into play here, where you're on the stretch because you want your big three when you get to the postseason. You want to have those pitchers going. Mm-hmm. So do we see him go? You know, five innings. You're up 5-1. Pull him at that point, or at some point, do you consider an opener and then put him in there? I mean, what are you going to do for the load management? Because it seems that's where Major League Baseball is going. Because 2019, we're talking about 15?
15
maybe,
pitchers.
Maybe three this year. I mean, it could just be two. Mm-hmm. It could just be Logan and Seth Lugo that'll get there, maybe. But the load management will come into play with these baseball pitchers. It's going to be interesting to see how they do it down the stretch because you want them healthy. Because this is if they're going to win anything in the postseason, you've got to have them.
Yeah, and I know J.J. Piccolo said that they think the off days could help them a little bit, just so they're a little more rested. But I think ultimately you're going to see maybe a little bit of a shift in how long they leave some of these guys in games, and therefore you need Hunter Harvey, who you acquired. You need Chris Bubich and MacArthur and Zerpa, Sam Long. Like you need those guys to be consistent enough for you, and that's why it's the number one concern. I mean, we can talk about offense all we want. I think that'll be fine. I think that'll sort itself out. It'll get MJ Melendez, who was actually starting to hit better, back from this IL stint. And he's not done for the year or anything. He's got an ankle sprain. He'll be
10 days. 10 days. Retroactive. Yeah.
So he'll miss this homestand probably.
I was hoping he'd get the 200 by the All-Star break. That was the goal for him. But he came close because he destroys Boston. I've rarely seen a player dominate a team more than MJ does Boston.
Loves playing in that ballpark.
He had like 14 games and 8 home runs in those 14 games. He was hitting .431. It went down to like .396 the last game. Are you kidding me? I mean, he destroys that team. And from Baltimore or New York, this guy kills Boston. They're in our division. I don't know. I'm just saying. But he destroyed. I rarely have seen someone like maybe Perez, the way he's dominated the Twins, but not like this level with MJ. This is really weird the way he plays the Red Sox.
Yeah, we'll talk more Royals for the second half tomorrow with Jake Eisenberg. And this weekend, as you pointed out during the random question of the day, new food item, that $25 taco.
Awesome.
Is going to be available out at Kauffman Stadium.
This is the most brilliant marketing since the EA 25.
Well, they've done a great job on that.
It's been everywhere, man. Again, free advertisement everywhere.
Taste of the K taco.
Not only that, there's other radio shows you know are talking about this because it's all over X and everything with Bleacher Report and everything. Major League Baseball.
They're talking about it more than the actual season.
A hot dog is wrapped in a cheeseburger quesadilla.
You're right.
No, it's not good. It's not good.
There's probably more Royals conversation across the country on this.
The hot dog wrapped in a cheeseburger quesadilla topped with barbecue brisket, French fries, lettuce, onion, and sriracha Cracker Jacks. Plus 816 sauce.
It's just too much.
It's a lot. One bite and the whole thing falls apart.
Think about what you just said. You said cheeseburger quesadilla. Think how wonderful that sounds.
And the dog, and the fries, and the Cracker Jacks.
I'm good. I just don't need the lettuce, onions, and Cracker Jack, and 816. Maybe I need the 816 sauce, probably. But
twice as much is only half enough there, Drew.
I kind of want to go to the K this weekend anyway, see a game. I think I'm going to go out either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. I'm not sure.
Is it a bobblehead
Friday night is Mahomes bobblehead tomorrow.
Split one of these with Vern. Vern would destroy that thing.
I don't know how you split this thing.
Vern would destroy that thing.
I mean, you can't. I don't
ask
know if this is.
Steak knife
I don't know if this
half.
Is something
I've seen
you
Vern
can
attack hot dogs, man. Give Vern one, he'll attack it.
Well, no. Like, if I'm in the press box, I'll always have a dog or whatever. And if I go to a game, period, I'm always having a dog.
I saw him drop a hot dog, too, on his pants and left an imprint. It was hilarious.
They left a wiener imprint?
Yeah. Jeez. He said to hold it like his notebook over his crotch. The whole night.
Oh, man.
Tiger Woods, by the way,
wiener pants.
Tiger shoots 79, 8 over par.
He's done.
So,
hope you bet him to miss the cut, Drew. You were talking about that yesterday.
I did not. I didn't make any bets actually.
Shane Lowry 4 under, huh? No, back to the food thing.
Let's do it. I'll do it. I'd do it 100%. I'm not going to spend $25
on it. If Aramark is listening, can we get some of those brought to the station tomorrow? Can we figure this out? During Club 610 tomorrow, let's try some of these KC tacos.
Just provide some silverware.
Silverware. Yeah, well, they'll bring it. Just bring it in a box. We'll figure out how to consume. Mm.
Okay.
Drew is all about doing things that are new, just like when he drank the Coors Light and shot the firework.
In the last week or two, Drew's opened up. He's doing the accents
new stuff,
now.
Accents.
He's drinking a Coors Light that he can't stand for some weird reason.
Wearing a sweatshirt when it's like 86.
He finally shot off a firework. He's wearing Bengals sweatshirts the day after the great Bengal debate that he was upset about.
He went to Hooters.
Went to Hooters instead of Twin Peaks.
He went to Twin Peaks, both same day. Yes. Incredible. Incredible doubleheader. He loves the eating contest now. Drew,
relax.
Turn the page. Slamming brews.
I'm not going to be talking about this on After Hours.
Talking about what?
The eating contest.
Why?
Stuff. The
Casey Taco?
The Casey Taco.
You're not going to talk about
it. No. That will come up.
I hope people remind you about this on the text line because they love talking about this. Because I was even reminded about you talking about it.
We'll talk some college football tonight. We'll talk Royals, Chiefs as well. I mean, some of the stuff we've talked about.
We've done that.
Today we'll dive into a little bit more. Plus
the night crowd, man, they get a little rowdy.
Yeah, they do.
I've done the last three nights. They're going to want to talk food.
Really?
They love to eat, man.
Really?
The text line loves to eat, especially the night texters. Love it. You bring up food, they'll fill up the text line. Yeah. It's a different crew, man. It's a different crew texting at night.
I found out you will not be listening, Gold, tonight. Just by our conversation with
personal.
You and Dusty over the week.
Oh, yeah. They were saying, like, he asked a question about the night show, and I didn't know the answer. And he's like, so do not listen. And I go, if I'm in my car, yeah, but I don't.
I'm not asking you to listen.
Spoiler.
You don't have to.
Sports talk for 4 hours. I'm not going to go listen to 4 more hours of sports talk.
I just got done talking about it.
I do, Drew. I listen to you.
Oh, thank you.
I text you right afterwards. Great show, Drew. Good job.
Oh, if I'm in my car, I'll flip it on. If I happen to be running an errand in the evening, I'll flip it on. Listen.
Flip it on or flip it off.
I've texted you or whatever. But if it's just a random night like that, I'm at home sitting and listening from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock at night to sports talk radio. Spoiler. Just not.
Like the 30s and 40s with a gather in the radio. Gather around it.
Now, if there was breaking news, like tonight, if we found out something breaking and Drew happened to be on the air, I want to hear what his thoughts are.
There's no sports really going on tonight.
There's not. It's a slow night. Play some more college football. You guys be better to be ready. Tournament. I played Drew last night. Good showing. Strong showing.
KK is
good, man. Strong showing.
You almost had me
next
on a fake pass.
Next Tuesday, tournament at Hy-Vee Arena.
I don't feel confident about myself in that tournament.
Yeah, listen to Drew tonight after hours, 6 to 9, right?
Yep.
Go. Let's go,
Three
Drew.
3 hours.
Me and Julio.
There you go.
Oh, you and all. That's a
good crew.
That's a good crew right there. You and Julio. Julio's awesome, man. You guys are going to be great.
Hope you guys have a good rest of the day. Binks with me again tomorrow. Jake Eisenberger on the show, plus a loaded Club 610. Aaron Ladd. We'll have Dusty back for Club 610, plus a member of our sales staff. Should be a good time tomorrow, 10 to 2.